Hey everybody, it's your old pals Ian,
Chewy,
Alan,
and Ryan.
And we're here to talk about all the great shows on the Stuff and Things Podcast Network, aren't we, boys?
How many shows? Oh, wait, sorry. Yes, we are. How many shows?
There's four good of job, them, Alan. You're doing four good. Of them, and they come out on all different various days of the week. Of course, every Friday you can listen to the original, the classic Stuff and Things, where Chewy and I just kind of talk to each other like we're best buddies. We just kind of talk like
your best buddies.
Like you just and your best like friends best talk. Like we're best buddies. Like we're best buddies. Yeah. Watch it. You're on thin ice. I have Alan over here.
That's right.
Be friends with Alan.
Yeah, that'll go well.
You can check that out every single Friday if you like hearing conversations that you and your friends would have, but with two total strangers. What else do we have on the Stuff and Things Podcast Network, boys?
Well, I'm glad you asked, Ian.
Alan Selman.
I took a stance here. We have four color commentary.
What's that show about?
It's a comic. I'm about to get to that.
Gee, Alan, what's that show about?
Thank you. I'm so glad you asked. It's a comic book podcast where four comic book nerds talk about books that they bring, sort of like a comic book club. But we also talk about other things like movies and comic book happenings on top of all that. So it comes out every other Wednesday, which is free, not free comic book day, but it is sometimes. It's just every comic book day.
If your parents are still buying your comic books like they are for me, then it is free comic book day.
It's every other Wednesday that comes out.
Gosh, that sounds great.
Ryan's really excited. Ryan, tell us about the redheaded stepchild of the Stuff and Things Podcast Network.
The sad, lonely other child of the Stuff and Things Podcast Network is a podcast we like to call Super Action Bros. Podcast where we talk about movies with explosions and car chases and lots of people dying a lot and stuff. It's every Saturday, the most action-packed day of the week with Ryan and Ian.
Yeah, where we take a critical look at those movies that are commonly watched while eating a lot of popcorn and snacks.
And pizza and beer and stuff.
I like those things.
Isn't there one more podcast that we're forgetting about?
Nope, let's move forward.
In the dark recesses of the Stuff and Things Podcast Network, where only the brave dare to dwell.
Not me. I'm out of here.
Yes. I'm here to tell you about you already talked about the redheaded stepchild. I'm here to tell you about the neglected jet black haired
evil
demon ghost. Son of the sun ghost of the network.
The sun ghost?
Yes.
The ghost of the sun?
Exactly.
Oh, I was thinking like a sun ghost, like
son of ghost.
Yeah. It is referred to as Eyes in the Dark, where we talk about horror movies with movie expert Dr. Jurassic Price and the classic and ever velvety voiced Evan is on it too. And of course, because we have busy schedules, it is released every other Monday, the most terrifying day of the week.
Whoa! Monday is legit the most terrifying day of the week.
See, guys, there's something for everyone here on the Stuff and Things Podcast Network. Everybody can enjoy a little something here. And we want you to enjoy now. So sit back, relax, get yourself a nice beer or juice box.
Yeah, if you're driving, don't drink beer.
Don't do that.
The juice box is fine.
But what you can do is
root
enjoy.
Root beer, also okay.
What you can do is enjoy another fine Stuff and Things podcast.
Eat your vegetables.
Welcome to Super Action Bros, the podcast where we talk about movies with explosions and car chases.
And using a carrot as a weapon.
And lots of shooting guns.
Gun shooting. Hi, everybody.
I'm Ryan.
And I'm Ian. Welcome to Super Action Bros. This is the episode in which we talk about the 2007 huge flop, but I liked it for some reason at the time.
Shoot 'em up.
Shoot 'em up. Before we get into that, we want to give you guys a couple different methods to reach out to us if you like what we do. And we've had some people reach out to us.
Yeah, hey. So, give us the business and we'll mention you on the show, yes. Person who tweeted to us.
Yes, we'll talk about that at the end because he's going to have an effect on us picking our next movie.
At the end we'll have a mailbag.
Yeah. So before we get into that though, let me give you the business. So if you guys want to maybe I shouldn't call it the business. It sounds like I'm giving them like the business. You know, people say that. Anyway.
No, whatever do you mean?
Anyway, so the business. So there's a couple ways you can reach out to us. Way number one is through our website, superactionbros.com. It is a Tumblr site, so you can follow us on Tumblr. And along that very same Tumblr site, along the side, if you look, there's a lot of little links to do different stuff. So there is a link there to subscribe to us on iTunes. You can do that and then get new updates as episodes come out. You can also follow us on various social media. We do have a Twitter account for the show, at Super Action Bros for Twitter. We also are on Twitter individually. For me, Ian, it's at iRich. That's at iRitch.
I'm on Twitter too as Ryan Roop, RyanRuppe.
You can also reach out to us via Facebook. We do a Facebook page, and we're also on a neat little website called Letterboxd. Letterboxd.com is how you spell it. And it's a movie social media site. You can post reviews of your movies and stuff and check us out on there. As well as we also do have email if you prefer the old-fashioned way, superactionbros@gmail.com. And we are part of the Stuff and Things Podcast Network, and you can check out more of the shows from that place at stuffandthingsnetwork.com. I would recommend checking out Eyes in the Dark if you like horror movies.
Yeah. Or
they have the same amount of listenership that we do.
Dang.
It's true.
Yeah, they're our pals. Actually, you were on one of their shows recently.
I was recently. Talked on the Insidious episode. Yes,
both
Insidious
1 and 2, right?
And the third one just came out, but we only talked about the first two. No, because the first two were made by, I didn't know this, but the first two Insidious movies were made by the same guy who made like the original Saw movie. I didn't know that.
All right.
But okay. I guess he's like his version of a, I was reading something about it, and I mentioned on the show that he was, when he was writing the script, up on the ceiling of his writing whatever office, he had a list of horror movies.
Well, if he's writing those movies, he probably, it's not like an office, it's like a cave,
well,
or like a creepy attic.
I don't think so. But he had a list of horror movie tropes, and every time he felt like he was going to cross one of them, he'd look up and be like, nope, not going to do that. Like he did the opposite. So neat. The first one's pretty good, and the second one's pretty good, too. They're in good, like, nice little two-pair story. Getting onto our movie tonight, though, Shoot 'Em Up. So I picked this movie because I remember seeing it a long time ago with my dad.
Because
we talked about Mad Max and how Ryan was going to, I don't know if you mentioned this in the show, but he took his dad on Father's Day to go see Mad Max Fury Road. And I was getting to thinking.
And then we went and drove high-speed go-karts.
And I was thinking to myself, what movies have I seen with my dad? And I remember my dad was very adamant about seeing this movie. He just said, like, it looks so fun. And in effect, he is right. It is a lot of fun to look at. Now, other than that,
yeah.
I remember seeing this in this theaters that don't exist anymore. It was up in Northern California, across from the Winchester Mystery House. They had these like old school like domed theaters, and it was in. Maybe that's why I liked it so much, because it felt like a 70s exploitation. Crazy action movie for no reason. And I saw it in old school type of movie theater, so maybe that had an effect on it. I don't know, but I remember liking this then, and everyone's like, this movie's garbage. I'm like, well, but it's kind of the point, isn't it? So that is why we picked this movie. But Ryan has not seen this. I'd advise him.
I've seen it now.
I said it was a lot of fun, and I still will maintain that. But it's not great, but it's fun.
No, it's not great.
This is a movie you watch with your friends after a few beers.
Yeah, you know what? This movie is weird because I was really confused when you mentioned this movie,
mm-hmm.
because there's two other movies that in my mind are the same movie.
And they pretty much are.
And the other two movies are Smokin' Aces and Lucky Number 11.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's just that the marketing was really similar for these movies, but like whenever I think of any of these movies, I just like I get this mismatch. I can't think of them separately.
Yeah, I get you.
I'm like, oh, it's got Clive Owen and Bruce Willis and Lucy Liu and Ethan Hawke, like all these actors who are in maybe one of those. I don't even know if Ethan Hawke's in any of them.
The question is, when are we going to watch X versus Sever?
Never.
Oh my God, we have to. At
I
some
heard that
point.
That movie is not like fun bad. It's just bad.
I know.
Bad.
I, well,
it's just like inept.
I wonder if it's worse than Torque is my question. Can it be worse than Torque?
I'm gonna mention Torque later.
Okay.
But like those three movies, they all came out right around the same time, like mm-hmm. 2006, 2007, mm-hmm. and they all were basically like, oh, let's be really stylish and shoot people a lot. It's kind of like, well, a couple of years ago, right before we greenlit these movies, Kill Bill did really well.
Yes, it's
and
true.
Quentin Tarantino's really expensive, so let's make a movie that's like Tarantino, super violent, has a sex angle, and lots of killing, and stylish. And that'll probably make us money.
It's true.
And I think it's like these three movies sort of split the ballot. And everybody's like, well, I don't remember which one was bad, but one of them was, so I'm just going to stay away from all of them. And I'm pretty sure that I saw Lucky Number 11,
now,
I think,
out of
in
the,
theaters.
Out of that one and this one, because I've never seen Lucky Number 11. Do you remember which one's better? Which one's better? Which one would you watch again if somebody made you?
I only remember little bits of Lucky Number 11. And gotcha. I remember being more complicated than this movie.
Okay.
But
and this
not
movie has a pretty complicated plot.
But I mean, it had like twice the cast. Mm-hmm. Like this movie had like three main cast members. That movie had like seven or eight main cast members.
Okay.
Who were like recognizable and had names.
This had,
as opposed to like guy who drives the front seat of the car.
Yeah.
Which is literally one of the characters in this movie.
Paul Giamatti in it. Let's talk about the cast.
Oh
crew.
Gosh.
Let's get to it.
So let's get the director, writer, director. Michael Davis.
Has he done anything else?
Technically. he has done other things. He's directed an animated short called Riding Shotgun that came out in 2013.
Okay.
He directed a movie called Monster Man in 2003.
All right.
Two guys and a female hitchhiker are terrorized by a monstrous-looking man driving a giant monster truck.
It's like Duel, but with a monster truck.
Yeah. He directed a movie called Girl Fever in 2002 and a movie called 100 Girls in 2000.
Oh, I remember that movie.
Called Eight
Holy
Days
God. Ahead. Hold on. I remember
no,
that
seriously,
movie.
Looking at every single poster of the movies he's made just reminds me of other movies. It seems like this guy makes like the direct-to-DVD movies that are supposed to trick grandparents. Be like, oh, this looks like that movie that just came out.
I remember.
I can't believe Walmart has it on DVD for
$8. You know what other movie he wrote?
What?
He wrote a video game adaptation, Ryan.
Oh, no. Which one?
Double Dragon.
Oh, gosh. Did he really?
He also, yeah, he's written.
He wrote Pre-Hysteria. Goodness gracious.
Oh, God.
That was a movie with tiny dinosaurs.
But I remember 100 Girls. Oh, my God.
Really?
I remember seeing that on.
What happened?
It's like a teen. I don't want to say it's a romantic
this
comedy.
Sexy
kind
teen
of
comedy
is
about a freshman at college who meets his dream girl in a dorm elevator during a blackout.
Yeah, they do stuff, and he's like, "I want to find." This is one of those things that like seventh grade EM
it's
really
got
liked.
Catherine Heigl in it.
It does, and what's her
probably
name?
Probably like pre-fame and
yeah,
Jenny
it is.
Priestley is in it.
Yep, Emmanuel Chiriki.
Yeah.
Larissa Olenek is in it too.
I don't know who that is.
The Secret World of Alex Mack.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But yeah, okay, let's get back to our movie,
though. It's got one of the guys from CSI in it.
That's true. So that's our writer and director. Hasn't done much.
No.
This was probably his chance.
This was probably his biggest budgeted film.
That's true. So
and good for him. He successfully, saw it to completion. An 86-minute action movie.
You know what it does? We'll talk about that when we get to the... We'll talk about
you
that.
You know, that's the other thing that ties this movie in with those two other movies, but also to the Tarantino thing, is that all of them have solid B-list actors as main characters.
That's true.
Actors who are like, they've been in some good things. And then you look at their IMDb profile, and they're like, oh, man, they've been in a lot of crap, though.
Except for Paul Giamatti.
Paul Giamatti's been in a lot of crap.
Yeah, but he's also been in a lot of great stuff.
Yeah, but Paul Giamatti, it's
I know you're
like
gonna say
philosophy.
I know you're gonna say Big Fat Liar, because I know that's
seems like
that's
his
one
philosophy for films is yes. When people ask, would you consider being in this movie? You say, are you going to pay me? Then yes I will. Yes.
But he's done some good stuff.
Sure, and good for him.
I bet
and
for
and
every
like
bad
him.
Paul Giamatti movie you can name, I can name a good one.
I can look at his IMDb profile and beat you.
I don't think that's true.
I think it is. So
I can do it from memory. American Splendor, movie's great.
Yeah.
Sideways, that other movie he's been in that's good. You know, that one.
The Little Prince.
Shoot him up.
CG animated Little Prince. He's in San Andreas. He's in, goodness gracious.
You can't say that, like, he's not a working actor, though.
Oh, no, he totally is. Plenty Absolutely. He's in an adaptation of Madame Bovary. Did you know that? He's in Amazing Spider-Man, too.
Yes, he is. He was the rhino.
A movie called River of Fundament. That sounds interesting.
What? All right. Anyway, so we have... Okay, so our cast. So we do have...
Oh, my gosh. What the heck?
Paul Giamatti.
There's no one in this... Wow. Okay. How did that even happen?
Because you need money. Paul Giamatti. Paul Giamatti. Who else? What else do you have to say about it? Do you have anything else to share?
I have things to say about his character.
Okay, we'll get to that.
Sure. We have not James Bond, Clive Owen.
Oh man, but I love Clive Owen.
There was this big rumor before what's his name became the current James Bond,
Daniel Craig.
That Clive Owen was going to be James Bond.
I could see it.
I could see it, but I could see why
they didn't do it.
He's not James Bond. It's because Clive Owen has the charm of like a sarcastic brick wall.
Yeah. Oh, I liked him in Sin City.
Oh, no, he's great in everything. I really loved him in those BMW commercials.
Did you notice that he drove a BMW in this
every,
movie?
Every time he stole a car, it was a BMW. Twice.
Of course it was.
Twice he stole it. I wonder if there's some sort of like life contract. Like every time you drive a car, it has to be a BMW.
Yes, probably.
Yeah.
And who's our romantic? Who our female lead in this movie?
Our female lead in this movie is Monica Bellucci.
Also,
let's talk about solid B-list actors.
Oh man,
she got her big break in the Matrix Revolution.
I think she was another thing.
She was
in art films before that.
Yeah, yeah.
Melina.
She's in a ton of movies.
I have a friend named Melina who's not based off that movie.
She's in a Bruce Willis movie.
Yes, true.
Tears of the Sun. Did you know that she's 50?
Well, when how old was she at the making of this movie?
That movie was made 8 years ago. So 50 minus 8 is 42.
She was 42 in this movie. She does not look 42.
No.
Good job. Good for you, Monica Bellucci. Stay pretty. I don't know, man. There's something about as a single young man, I'm a fan of Monica Bellucci and
as a married man, no comment.
And her body of work. Okay. Let's see. So moving to see a plethora of in this film.
Bad pun.
Who is there anybody else of note in this movie? is that it?
Is it? No.
That's it. So, okay.
I mean, I'm looking through the IMDb profile.
No, that's it.
Sorry, everybody else in this movie.
So, all right, let's talk about the MacGuffin of the movie. It's pretty straightforward, this MacGuffin.
The MacGuffin is revealed.
What is a MacGuffin?
Oh, yeah, we got to talk about MacGuffin.
Apparently, we've been told we don't know what a MacGuffin is.
I want to clear the air on that real quick.
Yeah.
So we use MacGuffin, the term MacGuffin we use very loosely to mean driving themes in the film.
Yeah.
MacGuffin classically.
Or driving. It's usually an object.
Classically is the object that people are trying to get.
But remember
the driving force for the action.
And also, we talk about this. It's a theory developed by Alfred Hitchcock. It's not like a proven thing.
Evolution.
Some movies have it very clearly.
Please don't write us.
Some movies have it very clearly. Some movies don't.
Yeah, but we always try to find one, even if there's not one there. What we mean is driving force and themes.
MacGuffin could be winning. Every one of these movies, an action movie, could be winning. Because everybody wants to win. Everybody wants.
That's true.
Because it's a versus movie. Everyone we watch is that. So we try to look a little bit maybe to the left or right of that than just saying winning every time. Because we were going on a streak of winning for a while. We had a discussion like we need to figure it out.
Because that's dumb.
Yeah.
But this one's pretty clear. It's the baby.
Yes. Oh, by the way, MacGuffin is the driving force of a movie.
Yeah.
Example, Raiders of the Lost Ark.
It's the Lost Ark. Yeah.
But yes, the baby.
As someone who has had babies.
Let me ask you, did the baby peril in this movie make you uncomfortable at all?
The way the baby was treated? The whole pregnant mother and then baby thing, like, that baby would be dead.
We should watch this movie again and count how many times the amount of times somebody yanks the baby.
I was very pleased. Spoiler that my wife fell asleep immediately as soon as this movie started because she would have just been so concerned with that baby. And apparently it was important enough that they cast the baby before it was born as a pair of twins because they wanted realistic newborn babies.
Oh, really?
But
Did they have a? Was it, are you sure it wasn't triplets? Because there was that, there was that, there was that robot.
Baby. It was like twins or triplets.
It was that robot something. Baby.
Yeah, that was real.
By the way, okay, I'm gonna put this out there up front. This is not a movie that anyone under the age of
this movie is rated R for good reason.
There's adult situations, lots of killing, language.
Wait, let me tell you what IMDb says.
Yes,
IMDb says what is the under what is Parents the reason? Guide. Rated R for pervasive, strong, bloody violence, sexuality,
yep.
And some language.
Some language. Well, there's some language.
Yeah.
Paul Giamatti is a colorful
mouse. Do you want me to list the language? It's right here.
Oh, does it say how many of what?
Parents Guide. 12 F words, 5 A words, 4 S words, 2 sons of bees, 3... Oh, wow. I don't even... What rhymes with that?
What rhymes with what?
It,
cats? I'm not looking at it. Cat?
I don't know. It's not what? A word that I've ever had to censor myself on.
See you next Tuesday?
Yeah, but not that word. The letter P.
Yeah, all okay. Right. What usually comes before
also
the word
Also, 8
cat.
Instances of hell.
Sounds like wussy. We'll give you that.
So, yeah. That doesn't even cover the whole thing. Anyway, there's a lot of movies. Movies rated R.
Yes. We'll do the best we can to talk about it without... Because there's a certain action sequence that happens during an adult situation.
We can talk about it in non-sexual.
So what are some things that, let me ask you this, what are some things that you, when you watch this movie, what are the things where you're like, oh, I gotta talk about that with Ian? What is it? What was it that
you know what it is? This is a Bugs Bunny movie.
Yes, exactly. So, okay. I forgot all about that. Like, it's a bug, it's like a live action Looney Tunes.
It's not even just that the violence is comedically ridiculous. Mm-hmm. It's not even just that Clive Owen is constantly munching on carrots that he produces out of nowhere for no reason. It's that Paul Giamatti slips in and out of an Elmer Fudd accent.
Yes, but here's my question.
And so it seems very Bugs Bunny, Elmer Fudd
but here's my
the
question.
Whole time.
Here's my question, though. Is he Elmer Fudd or is he Daffy Duck?
See? I don't know,
because he's kind of both.
Yeah, because he's and
like, if he would have said you're despicable at some point, I wouldn't have been surprised.
No, I wouldn't. No, have been it would have fit perfectly with his very loosely drawn character.
Well, I mean, that's okay. This movie is not. If you're going for a movie, you're like, I want a deep, in depth, well drawn out story.
If you're going for Snowpiercer, this is not.
This is the exact opposite of Snowpiercer.
this just skims the layer of violence off the top and hangs that up.
Heavy stuff. I thought we deserved a break.
I thought
we deserved a dumb movie with guns and explosions.
A dumb movie in which a pregnant woman is shot in the face in the first 10 minutes
immediately after delivering her child. All I remembered, here's the things that, you want me to tell you what I remembered about this movie before we watched it, was the following thing. I remember
Monica Bellucci.
I remember Monica Bellucci. That was number one. I remember Clive Owen killing people with carrots.
Yeah.
And right. I remember,
he does kill
and I remember
several
the
people by
stabbing speaking
them
of Monica
with
Bellucci
carrots.
And stabbing. There's a scene. There's an action sequence which we'll get to, which is probably the weirdest thing I've ever seen, and I cannot believe they did it. It's wacky.
Yeah, I know what scene you're talking about. We'll get there.
But those are the things I remember. I remember thinking this movie was so. And to be fair, it's like, you know what this movie is? And to me, it's a less. And this is gonna be like, you're gonna be like, really? It's a less good version of Crank.
Like, I've never seen Crank, and that's been on the docket for a long time. You know, maybe we should watch that.
Crank, we should watch it. Soon.
But it's been there waiting.
Crank's just ridiculous action. It's just insanity.
So
like, this movie saw Crank and saw Lucky Number 11 and mixed together in a pot, and this is what came out.
So I feel like that's what I was assuming as I was watching this movie.
This is made by who? New Line.
Yeah.
Then Warner Brothers owns them, so yeah, that would make sense that they could use "What's Up, Doc" and all those phrases.
Because I'm watching this movie. And I'm like, is this what Crank is like?
This is Crank. I'll be honest with you. There are portions. This is kind of like Crank Light in certain ways.
Yeah. So that's what I'm thinking, because I'm sitting there. I'm like, well, Jason Statham is sort of the like bulked up, bigger action star Clive Owen.
Do you know the premise of Crank?
It's a guy, but he's the bus from Speed.
Essentially, yeah.
Once his heart rate goes up, it can't go back down or he will explode.
He has poison in him. It's going to kill him. So he has to keep his adrenaline going.
There it is. And so he keeps his adrenaline
going.
And
then there's
a
sequel that is similar.
And having sex. And then in the sequel, from what I understand, he becomes a giant
guy and fights another giant guy with electricity.
If I remember correctly, in the second one, he has his heart was stolen.
Sure, all right.
And so he has to like keep constant friction and like electrified to keep going. I think it's called Crank 2 High Voltage, if I remember correctly.
I do.
And the way that movie ends,
jump straight to that one.
We should watch both of them because they are so good together. I remember seeing. Let's put it this way. Chewie, you know Chewie.
I do know Chewie.
And for those of you who are listening, Chewie, our host, he
was on the episode we talked about Godzilla.
Chewie despises those movies because they are just too wacky for him.
What?
They are too insane. He just can't understand how it's just. I feel like if I watched this with him, he'd have the same exact feeling.
I feel like somebody watched this and they're like, well, how can we make this wackier? And then they made Crank.
Well, Crank was, I think, made before this, I thought.
Was it?
I think so. I don't know. I'm not sure. Anyway.
I don't know anything about anything.
I don't remember. So, but anyway.
But the whole Bugs Bunny bit of this movie, which is never really acknowledged, it's just sort of there. Like, it's not like at some point it pans to a TV and there's Bugs Bunny,
mm-hmm.
and he winks at the screen.
He does say, "What's up, Doc," a couple times.
Yeah.
Like, you have to be kind of an idiot to not understand that.
But I feel like it was... I feel like... This was this director's chance to become the next Quentin Tarantino and to be clever and put little strange, like Tarantino-esque asides in movies. And so that's what he went with. But then, like, it turns out that this director just can't, he just can't cut it. He's not Tarantino.
No, he's too, I'm going to put that, I mean this lightly, he's too obvious funny to be Tarantino.
Yeah.
Like, for example, the part in the very beginning of the movie with the neon sign.
Yeah.
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 like
he's like, you know, it'd be funny if the sign said F you and then the guy made it say F you too. That would be hilarious.
Yeah.
And nobody said, isn't that a little too on the nose?
Nope.
Is a little too on the nose.
Now that I think about it, that's probably why 19-year-old Ian really enjoyed this movie. It's almost 10 years later.
Let's be honest. So there's a part in this movie where Clive Owen and Monica Bellucci are having sex and they also have a gunfight with people invading the room.
Oh, I still enjoyed that as much as I did the first
like,
time.
I feel like somebody was like, let's have a scene where they're doing it and they have to kill people. And somebody else wasn't like, well, what if we made it subtle? They're just like, that's it. Now we're done.
Well, but let's be honest. This movie just gets gradually more insane, these gunfights.
It does.
Until it ends on a very personal level, which is still insane, but it is. Okay.
Let's
talk through this because we know
he has some highs and some lows because it's really fun and then a horrible torture and then it's really fun and then more horrible torture. You're like, well, I was excited about it and then not.
Well,
and
there's
then
the
he
whole
broke all of his fingers.
but that was cool at the end because now that he has broken fingers, he can doesn't feel pain.
With all his fingers were broken. How did he get the bullets in between his fingers so they could stick his hand in the fire?
I don't know. He probably took the thing and just went like this.
But he couldn't grip anything.
Yeah.
He could barely hold the gun.
I don't know. That's
an obvious plot hole in this movie.
Oh, yes. Thanks for pointing that out, Ryan. I'm sure that's the biggest problem with this movie.
I was having a conversation with someone that both of us know, and his frustration with this movie was along those lines.
Has he seen this movie?
I think he was thinking I was talking about Smoke and Aces.
Oh.
And then I told him that I think that Smoke and Aces and Lucky Number 11 in this movie are the same. And he's like, well, no, because Lucky Number 11 is a mystery. And I was like, you don't, never mind.
So is this movie? But okay, you know what bothers me about this movie? I'll tell you the truth. What bothers me is that they have to give Clive Owen some backstory. Why can't they just let him just be the guy who's just like the man with no name?
I kind of ignored his backstory.
They kind of
I heard it and I was like well,
Someone saw The Fisher King. do you know what movie I'm referencing?
The movie The Fisher King.
Have you seen The Fisher King?
I am familiar with The Fisher King.
Okay.
But I've
do you
not
know
seen
about
it.
Why Robin Williams is crazy in The Fisher King?
Because
if you want
to
have the Fisher King,
Robin Williams in a movie.
If you want to have the Fisher King,
the easiest way to do it is just make him a crazy guy.
Yeah, but if you want to have the Fisher King spoiled for you, listen to Clive Owen's backstory in this movie because it's pretty similar to happens. Yeah, and why he goes crazy.
All right.
But like that didn't matter to me. It's like who cares why? And I mean, I don't even know if that was like an actual thing or if like Paul Giamatti made that up. Who knows? I'm worrying too much about a movie where there's bullets and guns. Well, okay, let's talk about what this movie does do well. action. Okay. There's like some good action sequences in this movie. A lot of good gunplay, I think.
I was looking at gunplay. Yeah, I was looking at the IMDb profile. This movie does for shooting movies, and don't freak out. What Torque does for car racing, motorcycle driving movies.
I would agree.
Because
would
it's argue. Like, well, this is these are the conventions of the genre, and this is taking it slightly over the top.
You don't have to like hurt my feelings, Ryan. I watched this movie and I didn't love it as much as I did the first time I saw it.
It's like think of levels. Like, here's the conventions of the genre, mm-hmm. and then here, an inch above it, that's taking it over the top. Mm-hmm. We're going to put it a foot above that.
Yeah, exactly.
And we're going to... This movie is... purposely being super ridiculous, thinking like, oh, people are gonna think it's clever, but it doesn't ever actually get to clever.
No,
it just stays super ridiculous.
Right, exactly.
And it's very similar to what Torque does.
Yes, I don't disagree with you. I think you're okay. Right. I don't disagree with you. I think you're right. However, if given the choice between this and Torque,
oh sure, well, I mean, Torque doesn't have Monica Bellucci in it.
Oh no, it doesn't.
Or Clive Owen.
I probably would have enjoyed Torque a lot more if Monica Bellucci was in it. But she's
the
not.
Problem with Clive Owen in this movie and in a lot of Clive Owen movies that I've seen, mm-hmm. which I've seen a lot of Clive Owen movies, mm-hmm. is that he's always so serious.
I love, but here's the thing. I mean, it
fits in this movie because he's supposed to be sort of the Clint Eastwood.
Does he not know how to deliver those one-liners though?
No, that's the problem. He can't, because James Bond is supposed to, like, he's supposed to kill you by throwing an electric heater into water and you electrocute and die. And then he looks at you and goes, shocking. And Clive Owen can't do those lines like that.
No,
he can't. And that's why Clive Owen is not James Bond.
I will say the one thing I did enjoy about this that made me laugh and I forgot about it and it reminds me of a story from my childhood is that the little baby loves metal music.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's good. Because when I was a kid, I was crying in the backseat of my car and my dad was like, oh God, he won't just stop crying. And he was like changing radio station, tried to find music that was calming. Nothing would happen. Then he switched over on accident to like K-Rock and had to like make a turn or something was some sort of metal station. And they're like, coming on Sunday at the Forum, Motorhead. And then Ace of Spades came on and they notice I stopped crying. They look back and they just see me like banging my head like this, like. I was quiet. So apparently metal does work. Apparently I don't know if I heard metal in the womb.
Well, yeah, you can babysit.
My mom did pregnant
stuff
mom
in the womb.
Pregnant mom did take me to a David Bowie concert.
Did she? Apparently. That explains a lot.
Apparently
actually.
She stood up on a chair. Which was probably not wise.
Well, you're here, so.
Well, I'm all right.
I don't know if I'd go that far.
Apparently she went to a David Bowie concert. That's what I'd heard.
Oh, okay. So, Rumor has it.
Rumor has it. That's what my dad said.
But yeah, Clive Owen in this movie, he's not James Bond
because
and it's not that he can't.
I think Clive
act,
Owen in Sin City is like the perfect Clive Owen role.
He's
like that is
too
so
serious.
Clive Owen in Sin City though is like the perfect. We should watch that at some point. Then we'll compare Clive Owen once we get to there. Because I feel like somebody saw him in Sin City and was like, he might be good for this. He was shooting a lot of guns in that movie and jumping around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like Sin City and the Kill Bill movies are the creative DNA exists in the history of this movie existing.
Let's see what other. But yeah, the amount of times he murders people with a carrot is great too.
Which is more than zero.
He's like a killer bug. He's like a killer Bugs Bunny.
He is a killer Bugs Bunny. He's a killer Bugs Bunny who, like, is the best shot in the whole world when it comes to shooting a gun.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, and I mean, of course, this thing. Oh, by the way, I like how they try to do a loose like anti-gun message in this.
Oh yeah, that was ridiculous.
But then they go like, "Well, this anti-gun guy. Well, f him. We're gonna shoot him in the head."
Yeah, it was like
guns are great.
It was like they couldn't.
It's Motley Crue jumping out of airplanes. the soundtrack in this movie. Oh God,
they couldn't commit to. The soundtrack seems like it would have been a significant chunk of the budget.
Oh God, yeah, they had Nirvana in there.
Yeah, and AC/DC
and Motorhead.
Yeah.
Speaking of Motorhead,
yeah, speaking of
Motorhead,
even Wolf Mother made an appearance,
and Motley Crue there at the end. Oh man, I'm gonna tell you this. I bet the soundtrack is a lot of fun to listen to.
Oh gosh,
yeah. I bet if you're like just gonna drive, want to drive,
you're
fast,
doing like a CG airplane jump where you're. Just hanging from a thing and fans are blowing on you.
I'm gonna find out
fantastic.
If Crank was done first, because that may or may not happen in Crank.
No, but that's the other thing is this movie has a lot of unnecessary CG in a Daredevil way.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Crank was made in 2006, just a year before this. Oh,
okay.
All right. It is very.
I wonder.
Similar.
Well, because this movie is originally going to be released in 2006, and then they pushed it to the graveyard in 2007 in the early 2007.
Crank 2 came out in 2009.
I sort of wonder if the guys who were making this movie were almost done, and they're like, "Oh, let's go see this movie, Crank," and then they're like, "Crap, you guys."
There's also, I wonder if there's a Crank 3. I see. So I was wondering, I wonder if there's any plans for this to be, like, initially. Let's do this into a, sequel. Because it feels like they probably thought, like who put it, okay, here's the question.
I feel like at that point, it could have been, the ending is open enough that it could, but it doesn't have to be.
Failed so badly.
Yeah, it's not like they set it up for an epic trilogy.
No, they didn't. Yeah. No, not at all. No. So,
well, I mean, in a sense, it's part of an epic trilogy with Smoking Aces and Lucky Number 11.
I would even argue, dude, you have to watch Crank, because Crank, this owes a lot more to Crank than I think it does to Kill Bill, the more I think about it.
All right.
The more I think about it, just because it's just like the same, it's like...
But just based on the timeline, yeah. Kill Bill would have come out when this movie was in development.
Probably,
or
yeah.
Right before this movie went in development. Yeah. Whereas Crank would have been too close.
Oh, you could shoot a movie in 2 months. They could literally have seen Crank and been like, all right, tomorrow.
But it's not this. The shooting part, it's the financing part.
You think this took a lot of time to write, Ryan?
No, I think somebody had to convince someone with money to make this movie.
They probably did. They're like, oh, is this like that Crank movie? That Crank movie's doing really well? Yeah, let's make it. Done. Print money. That worked out so well for us in the past. But yet we can't figure out how to make a Superman or a Wonder Woman movie. That's too hard for our brains to do.
But
we can make
Shoot 'em
up.
Too. So sad. Yeah, I mean, no guns in those movies.
No, that's true.
That's so hard when you can't just shoot the bad guy in the face. It's difficult.
Let's put it this way. Well, the movie ends with Paul Giamatti getting shot while Clive Owen is holding bullets in his fingers putting them over a hot fire.
That Paul Giamatti has broken all of, which by the way
that is they mentioned that earlier. Uh-huh. They mentioned that they want you to understand that heat causes guns to go off, can cause bullets to explode.
Where are you talking about the part where he
is in the bathroom?
No, he's trying to dry his gun at that scene because he dropped it into the toilet.
No, I know
the
that.
Toilet with CG poop.
It's true, there was CG
they poop. Couldn't They couldn't just like melt some candy bars and float them in a toilet. They're like, guys, we'll add poop in post.
Does your poop look like candy bars? I don't think so.
No, but melted gross candy bars to roll in corn.
This just reminds me of Caddyshack.
I wanted to talk about, you mentioned we were talking off mic. You wanted to start going through action scene by action scene through the movie.
Yeah, let's break it down because they get progressively and gradually crazier as this goes on.
Which is saying something, because the first movie, he just sort of randomly ends up in a warehouse trying to save this lady.
Which I kind of like that he's just like some dude. He's just like
eating carrots,
looking for a cause.
Yeah. And then just murders tons of dudes.
Mm-hmm. He does.
Just every shot, single shot kills.
Yeah. Shooting them in the face. Murdering them.
They're all body shots because then you can put a squib under the clothes.
While he's birthing a baby.
Which is not the only Clive Owen awkward birth scene in a movie.
No. Talking about Children of Men.
Children of Men is a very good movie compared to this movie. Also Academy Award winning director. But anyway, he just does all kinds of, and he's in a warehouse, so he like slides on some oil and shoots guys.
Yes,
and
he does.
And he like knocks some things over to hurt
it,
guys.
It gives you an idea of what kind of gunfire you're
in. But it's kind of a fun kinetic action scene. It's a good intro, and then Paul Giamatti shows up and Clive Owen takes the baby and leaves the dead lady who just had a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's the first action scene.
Then the second one, well, there's some weird like kind of like mini ones, like with the shootout in the hallway.
Mm-hmm,
where Paul Giamatti's coming at him with a broken piece of glass. Like,
oh,
there's,
yeah.
There's just little things like that.
And then
like
there's
mini.
The weird like wrestling fight scene in the bathroom with the Secret Service guy. I was never clear on that.
He was Secret Service.
Sure, where like Clive Owen has just dropped his...
Understand the underground plot of why things are happening?
Yeah, so this senator is dying of something, and so he has tons of ladies who he is having artificially inseminated, and then they have babies, and then he eats the babies.
No, I don't think he does that. He wanted them to have babies to take the bone marrow to make him better.
Yeah.
And he needs a lot of bone marrow. And he's very anti-guns. And so this company, who's a big arms manufacturer, are trying to stop him by destroying the babies.
Okay, so there was two sides to this. Cause at some point, it seemed like they started working together to get Clive Owen. And and I wasn't clear on the differences there. So the gun people is Paul Giamatti.
Yes.
And then the Secret Service guy is the senator who's running for president. And then at some point they join forces.
Yes.
And that's when Clive Owen kills the senator.
Yes. And okay. jumps out of the airplane.
Yes.
So we mentioned already the scene with the love making in the shooting.
Yeah.
Shooting guns.
Yeah. That's and those are like commandos. Those aren't part of Giamatti's guys.
Yes.
But before that we get the part where they're in
his apartment building.
Yeah, they're in Clive Owen's squat or whatever.
Squatting apartment building.
And just like tons of dudes rush up on him and he does crazy things and then gets an automatic weapon and slides down a rope and just spins around yep. killing people.
Yes, as you do.
He becomes a murder tornado. As
say
you
what
it.
You will about this movie, but you cannot say the action sequences are not fun.
No, you know what? And they're well shot.
Yeah.
You can tell what's happening.
Yes.
And there's lots of fake blood and lots of chests bursting.
Yes.
And like I feel like with how well the action scenes are done in this movie, mm-hmm. I'm surprised that this director hasn't done more B action movies mm-hmm. because I've seen plenty of B action movies where the action sequences are awful compared to this.
Yeah.
And why wouldn't you get a guy who at least can shoot a fun, if not mm-hmm. entirely realistic action scene? But I don't know.
And then, so what is it after that? The plane? No, the cars. The cars first.
Are the cars before the plane?
I think the cars before
okay,
the plane.
Okay, so then we get,
yeah, the
we
cars
get Clive Owen inside of a BMW M3, a Red 3 Series, and driving around.
Clive Owen, by the way, who forgot to mention, is always angry about things. The typical American male.
But the thing is, angry. He's British.
Yes, but come on.
But then, like, very specifically, Monica Bellucci mentions it to him a lot of times.
Like, you're angry.
And I feel like they're trying to have, like, a character moment there where she's like, oh, you're angry about everything. Isn't there anything you're happy about? And I can't do her accent. But I feel like they were trying to have...
Bad things would happen on the podcast, Ryan.
I feel like they're trying to have a character moment, but they just, like... I feel like at some point they're like, you know what? Do we need to finish that up? No, don't worry about it. I feel like that happens like a couple of times with a couple like character-based plot threads.
Like Paul Giamatti's wife?
Yeah, like Paul Giamatti's wife or like her backstory, which like leads directly into like them doing it.
Yeah.
Her backstory is terrible and tragic and sad, but it's like one sentence and then she like cries for a second and then they start making out and then they're naked.
Yep.
Accurate. So... I don't know.
It doesn't matter.
No, clearly it doesn't.
But anyway, there's baby danger all the way. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I forgot about the shootout in the park. The baby danger scenes are great. Gosh.
Yeah, the part in the park
where he yanks the baby off.
The part where he is shooting the merry-go-round with a gun to get it to spin up. Apparently, the Mythbusters tried that.
That baby's probably deaf, by the way, too.
And the Mythbusters determined that the handgun would not have the power to do that. You'd need a higher powered rifle to actually make merry-go-round spin with any velocity.
Thanks, Adam and
based
Jamie.
On gunshot.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Speaking of putting people out of work, let's keep talking about this movie. No, I'm just teasing.
So there's that scene where Paul Giamatti just kills some mom for no reason.
Yeah.
There's the scene where and for some reason, Clive Owen decides, like, oh, the best place to put Monica Bellucci and this baby is in a tank. Like a museum.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's safe. It's armored. And no one's gonna look there for him.
True. So, but, you know, there are places with bathrooms where gonna look for you.
Where Clive Owen spanks a full-grown woman who was spanking her child and decides to make an example.
Well, he uses that as a distraction so that Monica Bellucci and the baby can climb into the tank.
And if that happened in real life, there'd be like news reports out the butt about that.
That's true.
Man strikes woman in museum for disciplining child. Child laughs.
What's it would have been all over Twitter. And
yes.
Tumblr.
Oh, my
That's
God.
That's the other thing. This is a movie where the only cell phone is Paul Giamatti's cell phone.
Yes.
And any time that it would be in practice, you know, it would mess up stuff with the plot. There's no cell phones.
Yeah.
This is a movie right on the cusp of cell phones being a thing.
Yep.
Smartphones weren't really.
No.
I mean,
at one point
he has like a video chat and it's dumb.
2007.
Yeah.
So it's probably like the iPhone's brand new. Smartphones that matter are brand new.
Yeah. But I mean, by the time this movie was made.
Oh, yeah.
So Let's see. And then there's a part on the plane. We jumped out of the plane and a gunfight falling through the air.
Yep.
I especially loved that everybody's falling at basically terminal velocity.
Yes.
But then when he shoots them, they fall slower.
Yes.
And then
because the all the action has been taken out of their bodies.
Yeah, all the action has been taken out of their bodies.
The energy stops.
But oh man, that scene afterward is probably one of the most brutal just shots where it's like a top down shot. So a shot from the sky of Clive Owen walking away where he's just landed, and then there's just dead
body
parachute commandos just strewn around him, all of which have like big splatters of blood from their head area.
Yeah.
Oh gosh, it's just so dark.
And then they we forgot about one though. We forgot about the one in the gun factory.
That's not after. That's before.
No, that's before. That's before
plane flight.
And that's before because after the plane flight, remember he gets shot. Then he wakes up.
We forgot about
the moment where it's. I think that was pre-car. That's even pre-car chase.
The MacGyver scene,
or I was like to call it the grown-up Home Alone scene,
where he's like, I'm gonna booby trap this whole area
with guns,
but instead of with micro machines and paint cans,
I'm gonna use
it's with live ammunition
weapons.
Or he's pulling strings everywhere, just like that scene in Home Alone, where Kevin's like dancing.
Scene in Home Alone.
Except that he's murdering people as he does it.
which, let's be honest, I wish I could imagine this is just grown up Kevin McAllister. This is what he did. He wanted to be. He had such a good time in Home Alone 2. He wanted to be homeless in New York, so he decided to go back there.
But he really likes carrots.
What's your backstory? What is it that your family was murdered in a fast food restaurant? No.
You ever seen that movie Home Alone?
There's these two burglars that kept trying to break into my house.
So one time my parents went to France and they left me. They forgot about me.
and then another time we were supposed to go to Florida.
But I accidentally got on a plane to New York City.
Where I now live. I never left.
And there's Joe Pesci was trying to kill me or whatever.
With his head on fire. And then Daniel Stern turned into a skeleton. I like to imagine that's what the backstory says. But then it ends on a really kind of more personal note, where it's just Paul Giamatti versus... It's literally Bugs Bunny versus Elmer Fudd at the very end.
Yeah, except that he's just shot Elmer Fudd 5 times and all his fingers are broken.
Yes.
And that whole... That just ridiculous.
No, it was fun.
It was fun, sure. But it was so... It was just like... I don't know. There's like a point for me when like violence surpasses just violence into like... gore, or I don't know, it's where a dude hurting another dude moves over into torture or something. There's a line there somewhere.
Oh, like
where
when he blasts Paul Giamatti a giant hole through Paul Giamatti's body.
See, that's comedy again because it's a hole through a body. It's like that
it
shot
might as
in,
well have been Daffy. His face
like that
might
shot
well.
in the Quick and the Dead,
yeah,
where you see the silhouette and then you see the point of light.
Yes, but this is far more violent than that.
Yes, it is.
This is like
less cartoony.
Literally, I'm surprised that he didn't say you are despicable before he fell down.
Right?
Like I half expected that to happen,
or but call him Wascally.
I feel like midway through, I feel like they're like, oh, he's Elmer Fudd, but midway through, like, no, he's Daffy Duck. We don't know. He's a bad Looney Tune.
Yeah, he's crazy.
Everybody's
crazy. I feel like the explanation for a character is he's crazy happened too many times when writing this movie.
That's true,
and it's lazy.
So Ryan, final thoughts on Shoot 'Em Up.
Final thoughts. This movie has lots of baby peril, like more baby peril than I was ready for.
If you're a parent,
don't.
I forgot about the baby peril.
If you've ever made the mistake of showing your pregnant wife the movie Alien,
did you do that?
I did. Yeah. Her first time being pregnant and her first time seeing the movie Alien.
Oh, no.
As it turned out, that's a bad combination.
Oh,
don't ever do that. Step one. Anybody? Evan, if you're listening, don't watch Alien with your wife.
I'm sure she's already seen it, but...
But, yeah.
I need to remind you of what's going to happen in 9 months. This is it.
Oh, man. Especially if we're watching the movie and you, like, see the baby, like, moving under her skin. And she was... She was like, what is wrong with you? Why did you show me this movie? This is one of those other
ones.
But
I'm not logical right now. It's probably going to happen.
Scary. don't watch this movie if you don't like baby peril.
No.
The baby is fine the whole time. All the way through to the end. You know, except the one time you think that the baby just got run over by a car, which is super dark. Especially the way Paul Giamatti is cackling.
But, and then he looks and realizes it's a robot baby.
Robot baby.
And he's like, oh, that's
with,
messed
for
up.
For some reason, a reel-to-reel tape recorder inside. Beside, not oh, not like a
messed up.
Not like a little Radio Shack, nope. You know, battery powered.
They probably stole it from that World War II museum.
Yeah, they must have because with, I don't think they had real tape recorders from World War II.
So
wax cylinders.
My final thoughts are: this movie is ridiculous. It's just as ridiculous as I remember, but it's a little less charming than I remember it being when I first saw it. I know charming is not a word you probably would have thought I use of this, but I had a lot of fun when I first saw it, and maybe it was just the area I was in, the type of movie theater I was in. But watching it again, it was fun, but it wasn't great.
It's dumb, but like I went in thinking like, oh, maybe it's dumb, but actually it's good.
Yeah.
But it's right on the level with Torque. It's dumb, and then it tries to be clever but fails. Mm-hmm. And it ends up that it's super dumb.
Gotcha.
But it's still entertaining to watch.
All right, Ryan. Rating.
But it doesn't even have the redemption of like Adam Scott being funny and no, totally out of place.
No. But it does have Monica Bellucci, so plus. So
weird.
Plus for Monica
Bellucci. I love that they're like, well, here's how we're gonna do your hair and stuff. We're just going to sort of make it look like you haven't gotten a haircut or shaved in a couple of weeks.
Okay.
That's our plan.
So
you
Ryan.
Just look like a dumpy dude.
Rating, Ryan. What do you give this movie?
This is kind of a dumpy. No. this movie is... I feel like this rating is going to be low and you're going to be sad. No, but I'm, give this no, movie probably be. About a six.
Six. That's high than what I thought you were going to give me.
Yeah. That's a bit of Jurassic Park 3.
It's true. It is.
I'll give this movie a six. Wow. No, I can't think of anything appropriate. Everything I can think of is super inappropriate right now for some reason. What are things that happen in this movie? I'll give this movie a six failed quips from Clive Owen out of possible 10.
I'm actually going to rate it a little bit lower than you. I'm going to give it 5. Which is surprising because the law of diminishing returns, Ryan.
I guess so.
5 murder carrots out of 10. that is Shoot 'Em Up. Oh, by the way, Blockbuster. I'm gonna create a new rating. It's called Lackbuster. It's awful, but it still has some explosions.
No,
in
like
it.
it's Blockbuster. If you are not,
if you've been drinking,
it's Blockbuster. If you don't expect this movie to be smart,
yes.
If you don't expect this movie to assume that you're smart. And this movie itself to be smart, it falls into all of the same things that a Blockbuster movie would do successfully. Mm-hmm. It's not a lackluster movie. It's not that it doesn't deliver on lots of shooting.
Mm-hmm.
It is successfully a movie in which shoot 'em upping happens. Mm-hmm. So the title is perfect.
Exactly.
I would say it's a quote unquote Blockbuster. It's fun to watch. It's not like after you watch it, you're like, ugh, that was garbage.
Yeah. Well, like, you kind of are. Well, but you're like it was enjoyable. It was, garbage.
It's like
fast food.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. It's like eating. It's like eating a bunch of.
It's like eating
Taco Bell.
It's like eating a Western bacon cheeseburger.
Yeah,
like, at first it sounded great, but now that I've
halfway
eaten that,
through, you're like, well, I guess I should finish this. It does have bacon on it
and onion rings.
Yeah,
it's pretty good.
And then when you're done, you're like, well, I'm glad I don't have to do that again. But it was good. It's not like. You know, it's not like Jurassic Park 3 where it's sort of like eating a tainted breakfast burrito.
No, it's true.
Where weeks later, you're still like feeling it.
So that is Shoot 'Em Up, and that's our show. But before we go, we did thank you to one of our fans for reaching out to us via Twitter.
Somebody reached out to us via Twitter. So, hey, and know
shout out.
You listeners that if you only reach out to us via Twitter
or email or
Facebook,
ways we
then,
say.
Then we will mention your internet username and watch the movies that you want us to watch.
Yes.
So this was Tim at Vader78.
Mm-hmm.
He would love to hear our views on Tron Legacy and maybe the classic Alec Baldwin film, The Shadow.
So I get to pick.
So Ian is so excited
because
about this information.
Ryan, vengeance will come. And only truly one man knows the evil that lurks in men's hearts. Somebody made me watch The Phantom.
It's true. I did make
and
you watch.
That someone was full of evil.
Billy Zane's Punched The Phantom.
You made me slam evil, and now we'll make you look right into its evil heart. Next time, we're watching Alec Baldwin in The Shadow. We're doing it, finally.
Ian's been wanting to watch this movie since
Man.
In the discussions that led to us starting this podcast, the movie The Phantom was mentioned.
In the movie, The Phantom was mentioned. And I said, so what about the Shadow?
And so now, thank you, Tim. Thank you, Vader 78. We are now going to finally fulfill Ian's lifelong dream.
And there's nothing wrong with Tron.
Forcing me to watch this movie
again. But Tron Legacy, you bring up a good point. We didn't think about, we were talking about kids' movies, and we will definitely be watching Tron Legacy. I'm surprised neither of us have thought of that yet.
Yeah, actually, I almost have been holding off on that one because I was so close to that movie.
Yeah.
In the sense that.
But now it's been like 5 years since we've seen it. I've only seen it once.
I watched it like 2 weeks ago.
Oh. Well.
But I'll watch it again. It's not like I have it memorized or anything.
All right, kids. Well, join us next time. Next time when we'll be watching, not yet. We're watching Alec Baldwin as The Shadow. And remember,
whether it's blockbuster
or lackluster,
we're the Super Action Bros.
This has been a production of the Stuff and Things Podcast Network.
Exclusively at stuffandthingsnetwork.com.